Friday. Good to be in the Lord's house. Let's turn over to Romans, if you would, chapter number 8. We're going to read a little bit this evening and look at a few things. I've been kind of studying along in Romans chapter 8 and a couple other places. It's so full. Romans chapter 8 is so much in there. It's hard to get her done in 30 minutes. So Darren says you've got 4 hours. He's done approved it. So I hope y'all ate before you came. Just kidding. Romans chapter number 8. We're going to look at a little bit here, a couple of different things in Romans chapter 8. And after we get through this evening, sometime the rest of the week, if you would, when you get off by yourself, I want you to read the whole chapter in Romans chapter 8. And notice how many times that the Spirit of the Lord and the Holy Ghost is mentioned in this chapter. It's amazing if you really start studying out in the Scriptures the work of the Holy Ghost. It's amazing when you really look at all He does for us. I know we're living in a time where it seems to be that the Holy Ghost is not looked upon so much as the depths of what He does for us. I mean, in areas that we don't even know about or not even aware of what's taking place. We're living in a time of superficial things in a lot of churches. And you can see it when you certainly turn on the TV. Everything's so superficial. And everybody looks to the work of the Holy Ghost as being something that's prosperity or something that's some kind of miraculous. And I'm not saying it's not in some areas, but I honestly believe we've gone to the point in so many areas that the Holy Ghost is looked upon as a tool that is at our bidding to do as we see fit. I don't go along with the name it and claim it crowd. I think we've got to a point in so many places concerning the Holy Ghost of God that we don't know ourselves. People are so confused, and we have a tendency not to really maybe judge somebody or see what they're doing, and we kind of back off and just let things go. But you know, right is right and wrong's wrong, and the Bible makes it completely clear. There's a lot of false teachings out there. There's a lot of heresy going on, plumb to the point that there's a lot of blasphemy of the Holy Ghost out there for just the simple fact people are honestly, they say, well, the Holy Ghost this is the Holy Ghost that, and it don't line up with Scripture. They're attributing things, situations, feelings, emotions, they're attributing it to the Holy Ghost of God when He isn't even nowhere around. And in that, we don't look at the Holy Ghost at what He's doing for me and you. I mean, if you really grasp a hold to see He's part of the Godhead, the Trinity, and He has His work just as much as God does, and God the Son does. God the Holy Ghost does a great and mighty work constantly in our lives. Matter of fact, without Him, there would none of us be here this evening. He has His role in redemption. In John's Gospel, chapter number 3, where the Bible says that the wind bloweth where he listeth, that's a breeze from heaven. That's the Holy Ghost of God blowing in our redemption. You know, and we look at that, we don't think about it so much, but that's the call of God to us. The Holy Ghost is blowing in our direction, calling me and you out of this world. And you can get over in John's Gospel where he talks about Jesus said, it's expedient that I must go, that the Comforter may come to reprove the world of sin. There again, that's the Holy Ghost convicting. That's part of salvation. And it's the Holy Ghost that's doing that. A lot of times we don't feel a thing. But that's part of what He's doing in our lives, even sanctification. We can look at some Scripture. We've got a lot of places to turn to. I'm just kind of trying to get started here because I just didn't know where to even begin. But even in the end of things, we can look over in Ephesians. We'll look there in just a little bit where he talks about the Holy Ghost. He's our guarantee. He's our earnest, so to speak. He's our earnest money to go to heaven. He is our promise. God gave us a promise, and the Holy Spirit is our earnest, our guarantee that He's coming, going to take His precious bride to heaven with Him. It's a guarantee that only heaven has a hold of, nothing we can do about it. And when we look at a few things here in Romans chapter 8, and like I said, there's no way we could even come close. We're going to read the first verse and start off with about verse 14 and look at a few things, because I want us to really get a hold of what the Holy Ghost does in our lives. He does many things. But listen, there's many things that are attributed to Him in this church world life that we live in today that He has nothing to do with. Amen. And that's the truth. Amen. There's a lot of things said that the Holy Ghost did this or that, and ain't nowhere around. When you can't back it up biblically, be careful what you're fooling with. There's a lot of moves that's been going on for the last 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80 years. Attributing a lot of stuff to the Holy Ghost has revealed new things to people. Ain't so. Don't go down that road. Because I'm telling you, it's superficial. It's prosperity. And as the old Indian said, it's a fancy dance for a fancy dollar. God's not going to be contrary to His word. He's not going to. His word's going to remain true. If every church in the United States rejects God's word, it ain't going to change it. So I want to just look at a few things here. I've not been able to study much this week. I hate that, but man got to work, don't he? Man's got to work. Anyway, Romans chapter 8. I want you to look here, if you would, and we're going to read verse 1, kind of get started. I didn't put that mic on. I'll just stand right here. We'll be all right. You can hear me fine out there, can't you? If I start running, I'll grab this and take it with me. You got enough cord in it? No? Let me put this on. I'll put this on as we're reading. Romans chapter number 1, we'll look in verse, I can't do two things in one. Hang on just a second. I'm half-track minded. On a good day, when I've had plenty of caffeine, I'm still half-track minded. So, I'm one of those that can't chew chewing gum and talk, or walk, or nothing else. So, bear with me, please. Again. We there? We're there. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 1. I like the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. None. There's none. No condemnation to God's people. This chapter deals a lot with eternal security and the justification of the saints of God, our glorification, and all the wonderful things in between. And nothing can separate us. We're going to look at that in just a few minutes. Which nothing can. And it's a wonderful thing that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost holds my salvation. Because on my best day, I ain't going to do it. When I think I can, I'm even in worse shape then than when I ain't. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and death. We could go on and read several things, but even the very first verse shows us how wonderful it is to be a child of God, honestly. I mean, we're nothing but flesh and bones. According to the Scripture, according to the Godhead, there's no condemnation in any of us that are saved by God's grace, because we're kept by His grace. We're kept by Him. And Romans has to do a whole lot with sin and how much better Christ is, how grace covers sin and the blood. But we'll slip on down to verse 14 and we'll start looking at a few things best we can here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It says right here that the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. He goes on to say, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We're going through hard times. We all go through painful times in the flesh. May not feel that the Holy Ghost is around. May not feel like a child of God. But that doesn't change the fact. If you're born again, has nothing to do with your feelings. It's just great to know that there's no condemnation. Even when I don't feel like it, doesn't change my relationship with God the Father. Because he's the one that keeps me. And he says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waileth for the manifestations of the sons of God. Now look here. For the creature was made subject to vanity because of sin, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subject the same hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth. And look real close to this. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now look here. It's hard for us to grasp what sin and the sin curse has done to this world. It was a perfect world at one time till sin came around. And then the curse of God on this world, it puts a strain on everything. Sin is a whole lot bigger than we even can acknowledge within ourselves. It's what causes this old earth to groan and moan. That's how heavy the weight of sin is. The curse of sin is heavy. It's hard for us humans to grasp a hold of the fact of how heavy sin is on me and you. We're so accustomed to the life we live and so accustomed to things, you know, that we don't understand how much weight sin puts on me and you. I mean, honestly, this world is groaning because of sin. The pain and the things that this world goes through and everything about this world is because of sin. It wails under the weight of it. It's a curse. And I'm telling you, friend, a curse from God is a curse. But this sin that weighs this old world down, and we're part of this world, it weighs us down. We're in the flesh. It drags on us all the time. We can't even imagine how much liberty there's going to be one of these days when the sin curse is lifted. Can you imagine? We can't even fathom in our minds having the curse lifted, what it's going to be like. To never be faced with sin or distress or agony or separation or sorrow or pain or death or anxiety or distress or depression. I mean, the list could go on and on. Can you imagine a life without that? It's hard to imagine. But that's what's on me and you all the time. There ain't no wonder we don't live no longer than we do because of sin in this world and on this flesh. It's sin. And we can go on to see for the creature. Let's see. Where did we get to? 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now look. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even us saved folks. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. I mean, I may look pretty on the outside. I'm just kidding. You can smile. It's all right. But inwardly and in our minds and our bodies, we groan because of sin and distress in our lives. And we grow so accustomed to it, it's hard to distinguish the difference. But any way you look at it, The reason we go through the problems and the trials and the troubles in our lives is because of sin. We groan. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting, now look at this, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now look here, verse 26, here's where I really want to kind of, I wanted to get to that for us to see. And I hope you're kind of getting a little bit of grasp the weight of sin in this world. That's why you have all the things that are taking place in this world, in our lives, in our government. Everything about it is because of the sin curse. We wail, we have pain and things in our lives, in our minds, in our spirits, that this, it's just so overwhelming that, you know, we groan ourselves, children of God. We groan because of those weight of sin. I'm telling you what, this is something you don't think a lot about, because it just, y'all ain't shouting the aisles, hollering hallelujah, but it's a biblical fact, the sin and the weight of the sayer. Okay? He goes on to say, likewise, the Spirit also. And here, I want you to look real close to this, because here's something I want us to look at and understand. This is one of the works that the Holy Ghost does in our lives. And when we look at this in the next two verses, it blessed me. It may not do a thing for you, but I was happy, and that's good. Because knowing the travail that we go through, I had to lay that out just a little bit. Knowing the travail because of sin, it's everywhere. Everywhere. Knowing the travail in this world, in our lives, in our own bodies, our families, knowing that travail, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now look at this. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Why? Because of sin. We can't comprehend the sin weight in our lives. Therefore, we really don't know what to pray for. We pray for our sickness. We pray for our country. We pray for our church. We pray for our families. Y'all pray for me, I pray for y'all. We pray for our church brothers and sisters and our missionaries. We pray for a lot of things, but there's some things we don't comprehend, the depths of sin in our lives. We don't even know what to pray for, because there's such a weight there. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, now look here, the Holy Ghost of God is constantly making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's not talking about getting down the altar and groaning, which there's nothing wrong with getting to a place where you're bowing before God and not knowing what to say over your troubles and trials. I mean, it's great that we have an intercessor with Christ, and we have a sent intercessor with the Holy Ghost, but this is talking more about the weight in this world and this life that we live in. And this is one of the works that the Holy Ghost does in mine and your life that we really are not aware of, but because of the weight and sin that's around us everywhere, the Holy Ghost of God is making intercessions for me and you, because we don't know the shape we're really in. We really don't. And the Holy Ghost makes intercession for me and you. Here we are in this sin-cursed body, in this sin-cursed world. We don't know what to pray for because of all this sin. We know our things in our family, in our circles, you know. But as far as the big picture goes and the sin that's in our lives, we don't really know how bad sin really is. But this is one of the greatest works, I believe, that the Holy Ghost does as far as our lives go. The sanctification, setting us apart from this world and the things of this world, that's a great work that the Holy Ghost does that we can't even really see, but He does. Now look at the next verse. This is where it really gets deep and it really gets exciting, because you can see the communication of the Godhead. That we're part of. That we've been saved. And he that searcheth the hearts, which is God. God knows the hearts of us all. He knows us. There's several references we could go back in the Old Testament, the New Testament, we could see where God knows the heart. God knows the heart. And he that searcheth the heart, which is God, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Now look. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Say, whew, what's all that about? That's a blessing that the Holy Ghost is doing in mine your life right now, friend. Now listen, this is exciting to me. Because I know how unworthy I am, and all of us are. I'm a child of the Most High God because of grace. But because I don't understand the weight and the sin and the sin cursedness, I got a little idea about it. But I don't know what to pray for. But God knows the hearts. But he's in talk with God the Holy Ghost, who's making intercession for me and you. He's interceding for me and you right now with heavenly words. We can't even utter what's taking place between God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It's hard for us to imagine what's taking place in the Godhead right now. But according to the scripture we see right here, in these old sin-cursed bodies, he's making intercession for me and you right now. Because we don't know what to pray for. We think we got her figured out, though, don't we? We think we know right where we ought to be, when really and truthfully, we ain't got a clue. But aren't you glad there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus? I can't be condemned. Because when God the Father looks at me, he sees God the Son. And God the Father and God the Holy Ghost is communing and talking together. Because God the Holy Ghost is making intercession for me, because I don't have a clue about what to pray for. But I'm a child of God, bought by the blood, hallelujah. And he's working in my life, and I don't even realize it except for what the scripture says. That's why it's good for us to see what the scripture says and not just go on somebody's whim or what they say, something revealed it to them, when we ought to be looking in the scriptures and actually seeing what the Bible says about what the Holy Ghost does. It's amazing when you really start doing a good study on what the Holy Ghost does, how much more there is to him. It ain't it either. It's him. He's as much God as anything else. And we don't acknowledge that. We don't even acknowledge the fact that he's God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They've all got their work, and how wonderful it is. It's a big thing, isn't it? I tell you, our little feeble minds can't grasp it so much, can they? But when you see and understand things, like you start seeing some things, and the scripture starts coming out to you, and you start realizing how much more there is that God has done for me and you, undeserving, hell-bound sinners, I stand in awe and amazement. Man, we just all be standing around with our hands in the air thanking God all the time for what he's done for us. Listen, we didn't deserve a thing. Nothing. But because his great love and his grace through his grace, I can't understand it, but it's true. The scripture says. All right, let's look a little bit more here. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now look here. All things work together for the good. There's a lot of things happening in this old world that don't seem so good, though, are they? In our lives. It'd be easy to say, oh, that's good. Well, it may work out to where God can use it to help us along life's way, but there's some things that take place that ain't good. But a lot of this is referring to what the Holy Ghost is doing in our lives to get us to that final point of glorification in heaven. This is talking about our old sin-cursed body, this old sin-cursed world that we don't know what to pray about. He's making intercession with God the Father, And he's doing all these things that are taking place that the Holy Ghost is doing in the believer's life to get us to a point to where we're going to be glorified in heaven. Hallelujah, one day. That's what this, a lot of this is talking about right here. When you look in this and on down through the next, the latter part of this chapter, that's what it's saying. That's what he's doing for me and you. To them that are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, how's all that taking place? God the Holy Ghost. He's conforming me and you. He's working in mine and your lives to conform us to the image of his son. That's what God the Holy Ghost is doing. We may not realize it, but when you got the word here in front of us, and the word became flesh and dwell among us, the words of the Lord right here, and the Holy Ghost working in our lives, he's working on me and you. That little song that the kids sing, he's still working on me. That makes me what I ought to be, ought to be. For whom he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Who justified us? Christ justified us, but the Holy Ghost is right in the middle of it. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. It's coming. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Great statement, isn't it? If God be for us, how many times have you ever thought that? Man, when you was fighting a battle, everything coming against you, and you seem like everybody and their brother was mad at you. You ever been there? Probably not. Things come against you, don't just go just right, you know, and you're thinking, whew, I'm glad God's for me. I've said that prayer more than once, thanking the Lord for him being for me. And he says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Then you go back to verse 1 in this same chapter. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And then right here, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. We ought to be a happy people. God's working in our lives in areas we don't even realize. It's so deep and so enriched in God. And I believe this is why a lot of folks don't maybe look at this too much, because you know what it does? Smile at me so I know you're listening. It gets me and you out of the way. And that way God is glorified in our lives. When we put so much emphasis on look what I did, and try to be the forefront of everything, and look at me, look what I did, God does not get glorified in that. But when he takes an old hell-bound sinner, and the Holy Ghost blows on him, shows conviction, saves him, works on him all his life, setting him aside, working on him, praying for him, making intercession for him, all these things that are taking place, nothing could come against him. And at the end of this thing, we're glorified in heaven. Who's glorified? God the Father is glorified. I'm not going to go up there and tell him why I made him my choice. Amen. He already knows, because he's the one did it. He's the one that did it. So there we should glorify him. Let's go a little bit more here. Evidently, there were some things going on about who can come against us or things like that. But who is he that condemneth? Another question, verse 34. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also, now look at this, who also maketh intercession for us. So we've seen the Godhead in two or three or four verses. The Holy Ghost and God is talking and working. The Holy Ghost is making intercession because we don't know what to pray for, because we're groaning in this sin-cursed world. And then we see here where Christ's sitting on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for me and you, glory to God, we ought to shout on that one right there. If we could ever just get a hold of what God is doing and us not even seeing it, Lord Hanner. Did y'all say that up here, Lord Hanner? I don't even really know what it means. I'm telling you, that is some rich stuff right there. It amazes me that God would take an old hell-bound, sin-cursed individual and save him. It's just amazing. And doing all these things for him. And he goes on to say, who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall the pains of the things that go through our life? In other words, who can take our salvation away? Who can separate the love between God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost in us? Who can separate that? They're certainly not going to, because they're making intercession constantly for me and you. That just amazes me right there. I don't even know it, and he's making intercession for me. So who can separate? Can hard times separate? Do it? Can distress, things going on in our lives, I mean the bad things that happen in our lives, can that separate us from the love of God? Can it? Persecution. People coming against you and fighting you and all. Can that separate us from God's love? What about peril? Hard times. I mean, steps are getting worse as you go through this verse right here. Can peril, I mean just the worst you could ever think of, can it make God not love me no more? Then it comes to the final right here. What about a sword? What about somebody kills you for Christ's sake, or just kills you? Can that change God's love for me and you? He goes on to say, as is written, for thy sakes, we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, I like that word right there. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all things. Nothing can take it away. Nothing at all can take it away. Why? Because my salvation rests completely and wholly upon what Christ did for me on Calvary. God planned it. Before the world began. He did. God planned it before the world began. Christ made the provision that my sins could be forgiven. And the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God, is working and moving in our lives right now to take us to glory, making intercession. Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for him. How can we lose? We can't. We could lose everything we've got. We could lose our families. We could lose our church. We could lose our jobs. We could lose our homes. We could lose everything we got. I don't care what it is. And nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not a thing. Whew. Hallelujah. That'd be about make a man want to cry right there, don't it? Amen. He goes on to say, for I'm persuaded. Through all this, he says, I'm persuaded that neither even death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height. I mean, this is talking about the highest star you can see. Nor the depth, the farthest you can see. Everything in between is what he's talking about. Neither height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate me and you. We may not feel it. It gets exciting to know when you see in the scriptures what God is doing for us, even as we sit here about half asleep. Amen. Amen. We all had a hard day at work, didn't we? It gets long. But even when you're tired, sitting in church thinking, whew, good Lord, that preacher, I wish he'd hurry up. Guess what? The Holy Ghost is still making intercession for you. Him and God the Father and God the Son are working in our lives in areas we can't even feel. The Holy Ghost is wonderful. I like shouting with everybody else. Man, I love it. I love shouting and rejoicing in the Lord. I love it when those things take place. I love it. But I tell you what, when you get in the depths of the riches that we have as children of God, knowing that He is doing for us things we cannot do or never could or ever will be able to do, that He's going to get glory one day. Can you imagine the day when we finally, out of this sin-cursed world, in a perfect world, and the Son of God is there? What about that? All these He's done for me and you. Man, it ought to encourage us. Amen. It ought to encourage us.